with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live with you from the Standard Lumber and Kitchen Studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. And we are talking a little bit about stuff you can put on your grill or smoker for the Easter celebration that's coming up today or tomorrow, depending on where you're listening to us. But anyway, we're on to the lamb. We're moving across the barnyard from the hog, where we just did ham. Now we're going to go to the lamb. Lamb shank, leg of lamb, boneless or not boneless, Barbecue Bob? What are you thinking?
Hey, I'm just thinking I'm glad I'm not on the lamb anymore.
Right, yeah. Good to be out of the closet, isn't it? Yeah.
I think I love lamb.
I do, too. It's a strong flavor.
I don't think so.
The fat is.
Yeah, I don't eat the fat anyway.
Right, but I mean, if you leave it on there, it's got a strong flavor. You're right. The meat itself is wonderful.
And, you know, the cool little news I just got recently is one of my friend's kids bought up 60 acres north of me, and they're going to start raising lamb.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to have, like, a really nice, fresh supply. Yeah. Locally, so we can make all the kibbe we want. I know right. You love raw kibbe.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, roast lamb dinner for Easter is a Jewish Passover tradition, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. The Greek eat a lot of lamb. I've got a story about that for a little bit later, but they do. So anyway,
I know you love your sheep,
right? But
so. Christians refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God, and I think there's a tie-in there. Obviously, you know, there are actually people that will claim the first barbecue was sort of discovered by rabbis after they'd sacrifice lambs and burn them on the altar. They would eat. They would find that there was cooked lamb there, and they're like, this is really good over an open fire. No, let's offer a lamb. That one right there.
Yeah.
Right. Let's put her on a spit and just take our time
with
her.
Yeah, so they sit there and then they go, oh, we're done. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, everybody go home.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Took some practice, though,
right?
Thank goodness. I think
leg of lamb is probably what I'm going to go with.
Bone-in.
You could do a rack, but
right.
But a bone-in leg of lamb, it's just beautiful.
Right. And you're gonna get the lower leg, and then you get the thigh, right? And so it's this. It almost looks like a giant chicken thigh,
like a drumstick,
right?
Yeah.
The way the thing is put together, and my understanding of this, and I've only done it twice. Okay, so I'm by no means an expert, but
I think that makes you an expert.
I want a little oil and the seasoning on the outside of this thing,
definitely.
And I think that I want to sear it a little bit. To maybe crisp up that skin, and then I go to indirect after that to get it to the temperature that I want, and make sure that you stick a thermometer in, touch the bone, and then draw back a little bit, because the bone will stay coolest for the longest, and you don't want it overdone. But you also don't want to be able, when you're carving it, to have raw that's down by the bone when the outer part is.
You may or may not put your probe in the right place. You may or may not.
Right.
Yeah, depending on. And, you know, you have to do a couple of these to figure it out.
Right.
And that's that brings up a great conversation, in my opinion. It's like, how do you, if you like lamb.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you that most people, once they eat it, will like it.
Right.
But they'll also, if they've never eaten it, they'll shy away from it, thinking it's going to be weird. And you just kind of did a spoiler alert. You go, that's strong. It's not. It's really
the
not.
The fat is. The meat is wonderful.
It's just
but
different.
If you take the... Like on a steak, for example, because there could be a steak on the top part of this leg the fat is a little strong, which is why I kind of hit it with some higher heat and crisp it up a little bit, and then, you know, slow it down, set it on the offset, and bring it up to temperature. And it's like beef in that, you know, you could eat it at 125, 130, but probably closer to 140, 145 is going to be a little bit better for most people when they're trying. But it's very tender. It's a lamb, right? It's like veal.
Right.
It's very tender.
Oh, my gosh.
It's young, and it's wonderful. So
let's talk about what we're going to do to this thing then.
Okay.
You going to use olive oil?
Sure. And I think, and olive oil is the binding agent on the outside, right? I'm going to rub it with that, and that'll help it crisp up for one and help my seasoning stick. I would go to Old World Olive Company and probably grab the garlic.
Exactly.
And put that on there because that's going to be
any meat, that right. One's a go-to.
Right. Yep.
A go-to.
yeah. Well, we're cooking that.
So this recipe calls for Lowry's and
the salt, right?
Yes. And freshly ground black pepper, red wine vinegar. That's a must for anything Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
It's always red wine vinegar.
Right.
It's just the profile.
Adds a little acidity, and a little bit of tartness with the red wine.
We're also looking for rosemary, and we're going to go fresh rosemary and fresh thyme. We're not going to use the dried up stuff. So you want to rub that leg with lots of this oil and shake your black pepper over it, and then take that thyme and rosemary and embed it into the meat.
Okay.
Now, I would do a little different.
So it's still on the stem. Are you taking the knife and making a little slit?
You can do that, or you can just stuff it into. There's all sorts of little openings that you can stuff it into. But I do love the look of fresh rosemary stuck all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't joke about that.
I won't.
I know you can see it
no,
coming.
I'm just telling you, the
rosemary
I like
cousin.
In my kitchen is wearing an apron. I'm just telling you. Not my favorite spice.
Oh, it's for lamb, it's a must.
Okay.
It's a must.
All right.
And maybe that's why you don't like the fat, because you didn't season it properly.
Well, it could be.
You missed
generally,
rosemary.
Generally, I like fat things.
Don't I know. So I would probably do it in the reverse of what you said. And
okay.
I would.
Here we go with
these
Bobby
directions then. I don't like. I did this recipe years ago.
I wrote it, but I don't like it.
Well, I did it years ago, and, sometimes you keep playing with it. I constantly keep playing with it. I seem to never be happy with anything I make. But I would drop this temperature down to maybe 3 or 3 1/4, and I would put it in the smoker first, and then I would do a reverse sear. I would throw it on the grill just to crispen it up and finish it off at the end.
Okay.
Because I'm going to want a little natural smoke on this, just from a good charcoal. I'm not going to throw flavor wood on it because, let's face it, this is a sanctimonious meal. It's not a barbecue, right? So you're not trying to get a smoke ring
or
anything.
And it's a delicate piece of meat. I mean, it's young. It's very tender.
You
don't want to dry it out.
It's very mild.
Yep.
You don't want to. You could oversmoke it easily.
Mm-hmm.
But so.
So you're going to smoke it until the internal temperature gets to what? If you're putting it on a smoker, how do you know when to pull it off?
Well, this recipe is calling for 165, but if I'm going in and I want some rare meat, I'm going to pull it at 130.
Okay.
And 165 on the outside. What you don't want to do is get that outside to 180 or something. It'll be just dry as can be.
Right. You won't enjoy it.
Yeah, but you can keep basting it with the basting mixture, which is also on this recipe. I wouldn't say this would be the end-all way to do it. I'm, like you, probably much more apt to make lamb chops.
Right. You know, I have some of those thawed out for Easter tomorrow, and we'll be cooking those on the grill.
What are you going to do to them?
I marinate them overnight in a grill. A garlic oil for the grill, the garlic itself, and then some thyme and some mint. And I'll put that in a Ziploc and then shrink wrap it down so that's tight, get the air out, right? And let that set in the fridge overnight and then open those up. And I let them drain on a rack because you don't want too much of that oil in there because it'll flare up your grill. Because these are I call them lolly chops, right?
Yep.
Because they're French, the bones in them.
Yep.
It's a 2 or 3 bite deal,
and they're not real thick.
No, they aren't. They're less than an inch. These particular ones.
So you can leave that. You can leave that thing in a crown roast and do it the same way.
Sure, you could. Yeah,
you just won't marinate as well.
Right, and it's a little bit harder to cook because you got you can't get to all sides of the meat. But anyway, so lamb chops, we've talked about those on the show before. But coming up next, how about some Easter breakfast? There's not only one meal on Easter. We can do two. So we can cover that. Stick with us.